Several months ago, we heard the story of two disciples walking away from Jerusalem. Jesus had died, and they were fleeing the city full of doubts and fears. There on the road to Emmaus, they met a stranger. They told him everything that had happened, and he explained the scriptures to them. And then, as they ate together, they recognized the risen Christ. Early last year, when I was visiting and observing you all, what I saw were a lot of tired and hungry adults who were walking away from church. Some told me that their faith had not been fed for a long, long time. They said things like, "I don't know if I'm a Christian anymore. My faith is all dried up." Some told me that it had been years since they'd heard a sermon deeply rooted in the Bible, and others that it had been years since they'd taken communion. Many had young children hanging off them, and they were understandably deeply distracted. Some told me that they felt exhausted or burned out, and they begged me to lead from the front, and several said, "Please, please, I just need to turn up and be fed." Most of these people were great at talking about Jesus, but they were questioning church and faith. They were full of doubt, and they urgently needed to encounter the risen Christ. So I made a call. I decided that these people didn't need to talk about ideas. They were great at ideas. But instead, they needed to participate in a service which would, by its structure and repetition, write the Emmaus experience onto their bones. Gathering, confession, scripture, bread. Those are the elements of the Emmaus story, where doubting disciples meet the risen Christ. And those are the elements of the formal liturgy. I was also looking at the children. Children with low levels of literacy. Children with disabilities and learning delays. Children who've experienced trauma. Children who get sick and miss weeks on end. Jesus teaches that we are to serve the least among us. And in this group of people, the least powerful are the children. While every person here is precious in the eyes of God, and while every person here needs to be fed, we adults can take responsibility for our faith and access the resources that we need. Although whether or not we do is another matter. But the children don't have that freedom. So it's these children, the least equipped, the most vulnerable, whom I especially set out to serve. So what do they need? It's my experience as a pastor, a mother, and many years as a classroom helper, that most children thrive on rhythm and ritual, rhythm and ritual. And this observation is backed up by an enormous body of evidence. For children, as well as for people with learning disabilities, for people who suffer from some forms of mental illness, and for people who have experienced trauma, best practice is participation in a formal liturgy. The repetition and ritual help create a sense of safety. There are no shocks or surprises because participants all know how it will unfold. This sense of safety, of knowing what's going on and what's coming next, reduces anxiety. It gives people the freedom to relax and to open themselves up to whatever is being revealed. Because the liturgy repeats, people don't need to know how to read. Simply by turning up, they memorize it. If they lose concentration, it doesn't matter. They'll pick up what was missed a different time. The repetition triggers a heightened neural state, and it deepens neural pathways. What this means is that every time people participate in the liturgy, their experience of it is a little bit richer. They bring in all the other times that they have participated, and this gradually creates a deep web of experience that transcends one time and place, and infuses it with many other times, and for some of us, many other places. With a bit of imaginative effort, you begin to see just how we are in communion with the saints every time that we gather. As we worship together, we generate shared memories. And these shared memories weave us together as a community, and this community holds us. The liturgy is always a corporate act, a thing we do as a group. And many of the prayers and the faith claims are difficult. But when we are woven together, none of us need to understand or agree with every bit of the liturgy all by ourselves. The group is gathered up with the Spirit of Christ. And so the group has plenty enough faith for us all. Even those with a profound lack of faith or a profound lack of cognition are carried and enriched by the faith of the body. And the body also provides the socialization, the apprenticeship and the shared narrative world that children and adults need in order to keep growing and maturing. For all of this good stuff and all the stuff I haven't said, the formal liturgy is only ever a tool. It's not a goal in itself. Instead, it's a method of curating time and space. It aims to gather together people of all ages and all abilities to be fed. It aims to gather them to encounter the risen Christ and thereby to grow in faith together before sending these people with this faith and this sense of belonging and this way of seeing into every other area of life. That it is effective is seen in the comments of the least powerful, the most vulnerable among us, our children. This is what some of them have to say. Every time I come in here, I remember who I am and who I belong to. For me, God's a feeling. I feel it here. I'll walk in, I see the people's faces, and I know that God is here. I think of this place as a house of life. Sometimes we sing the church songs with our friends in the playground. I was out walking. Suddenly I remembered a psalm, and I sang it. Repetition and ritual, they make things go deep in our children and in us. And once they go deep enough, once they are written onto our bones, they spill out of this place and into schools and workplaces, families, neighbourhoods, sports clubs, and everywhere else. So if the kids are any measure, and they are, good things are happening here. Children and adults are noticing the presence of the risen Christ through this Emmaus walk of the liturgy that we do every week. And it's even leading to a bit of public proclamation. Gathering, confession, word and table are having their effect. It's now been a bit over a year that we've been doing this Emmaus walk. Some of you love the liturgy. Some of you don't. Some of you feel strengthened and restored and nurtured by it. It's rubbed others of you up the wrong way. That's okay. There is no perfect worship form, and every service style annoys the hell out of someone. But whether or not you like this style, in participating, you have had the opportunity to feast regularly upon word and table, and to walk in the company of the risen Christ. You might not be feeling so hungry anymore. And if that's the case, then the liturgy is doing its work. So that's the story of why we've been using a formal liturgy. Now the leadership group is proposing that we meet at another time to talk more together about who the service is for, how the service style can meet their needs, and what each of us can bring to that space. So let's set a date and let's talk.